You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
You guys know, right, that God isn't raining seeds from heaven, right? You know that, right? It's not like little seeds that are coming down from heaven and that they fall in your mouth. And then when those seeds fall in your mouth, that somehow that produces, right? This word is the seed, right? You have a spirit in you. What is he called? He's called the spirit of what? The spirit of truth, right? He's the spirit of truth, right? And you have been born again, right, of an incorruptible seed. You have been born again of incorruptible seed. So here's what I mean, right? This word is not the seed that you eat it and it goes into your belly, right? The word of God, the truth, right? That's the seed, right? You got it, right? That word is a seed. And as you receive revelation, right, that's where fruitfulness comes, right? So this word is not the seed. Understanding what is written is the word of God, but the only reason you understand is because you have the truth in you. If you didn't have the truth in you, you wouldn't have the foggiest idea what that says. If you didn't have the truth on the inside of you, you would know nothing, right? Because it's interesting. It's not just that the reason why we understand, right, is because the Holy Spirit is in us just whispering things to us, right? But instead, you have the truth, and you have been given the mind of Christ, which means that because you have the truth, the Spirit of God can reveal and open things to you, right? Not in men's words, right? The Spirit of God reveals stuff to you and opens things to you that would take men sometimes volumes to speak and volumes to say, and puts pieces together and stuff so fast, lightning fast. I mean, if your mind, you ever noticed how fast your mind is, right? Right? The Spirit of God is faster, right? Your mind is fast. Fast. I mean, you can think thoughts, so many thoughts in a matter of seconds, right? In a minuscule moment in time, you can think so many things. The Spirit of God is faster, right? The way he relates and opens things to you, right, so that you can see them, the way he opens things. So it's good to know that you know, the Lord has been speaking so many good things to us about that, about it's been given to us to know. That it's been given to us to know. It's awesome that you have it. It's been given to you to know. Right? This word is not the seed that you get. It's been given to you to know. Right? You're not getting the truth. It's been given to you to know already. You have the truth. You have the truth, right? It's been given to you to know. So because you have the truth, right, you can read this written word, the word written on a page. You can read scripture, right? You can read scripture because that's the correct term for it, right? This is the scripture. It's the written word, scripture, right? So there are people that search the scriptures because they think that in the scriptures they'll find life. But Jesus says, you don't get it. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you find life, yet they testify of me. They testify of me, right? The word of God is within you, right? The word of God is within you. You have the spirit of truth. You have truth, and it's awesome to know that you have it. So, you know, let's go to Matthew chapter 17 real fast. Matthew chapter 17. You know, the Lord is so good. The Lord told Abraham, he didn't tell Abraham. He said about Abraham, he said, will I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Shall I hide from my friend Abraham what I'm doing? Now, here's the cool thing. The Lord, via prophecy and the things, even the things that the Lord was doing tonight and the things that the Lord has spoken to us throughout the years, is not so that you will have more faith, right? Actually, you can't even understand what God is even saying to you if you don't have the truth, right? So let's just see. Let's see. Matthew 17 and verse number, Matthew 17. One is good. Matthew 17 and verse number 1. And look at what he says. It says, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. It's always just a cool thing when you see just the symbolism and things, but it's cool when you see that the Lord always brings you up for you to see. Right? Right? You're always up when you see. You have ascended up to Mount Zion, right? To the city of the living God, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. There, that's where you see. Right? That's where you see. On the mountain is where you see. Right? And thank God that's where we are. That's where we're seated, right? So it says in verse number 2, as they went up and they were set apart to see, it says he was transfigured before them. Now, understand, right? Everything that's happening, the Lord is doing it in order so that they will understand. But what he wants them to understand is for them to be able to hear the gospel. So watch this. So you know, it, like more than any other church that I know of, right? You guys know that the thing that God has given us to do is to hear, the hearing. That's the task. That's the labor, right? That's where our faith is. It's in Christ, and faith comes by hearing and hearing him, right? That's where it comes from. So no matter what happens and what these eyeballs see, right? No matter what they see, God never shows you something to get you to do something. You know what the Lord was telling me? Just while we were worshiping, he says, you know what? Make sure that they know that they should never try to be great. The Lord doesn't give you a word. The Lord doesn't give you a word and say, you're going to be great, so that you go out and try to be great. The Lord does not give you a word and tell you ahead of time by the prophetic word and say, for you to be great, that you will be great, that you will do great works for the Lord, so that you get up the next day and try to be great, right? He says it to you for the exact, the things that the Lord shares with us, he shares with us because the Lord shares with those that are his and tells those that are his things to come and warns you and does all kinds of stuff. But even in the Lord warning you of something evil even that will come, he's not asking you to go out and be paranoid the next day. Right? The job and what we are to do is always the same. You always keep hearing. You always keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, right? You don't get a word of prophecy and the Lord say that you're going to be a pastor within 4 years and you figure that you got to get up now and you have to start wearing a suit or you got to go out and buy the little white thing between your collar, right? We don't try to go and be great. You don't try to go and be great. We already know we're not great and we can't do nothing. There are none that are good. Forget about being great. We can't even be good. Forget about being great. We're not even good, right? But he is good. He is good. So the Lord shows himself to them, brings three up, not 12. He brought three up. You know why? The reason why he brings three and not 12 is because 9 can't handle it, right? He brings three, not 12, because 9 can't handle it, right? And even the three think and say funny things, right? Even the three that see think and say funny things, but then they remember. So the Lord has purpose in what he's saying, and I'll show you that in a second. But you know the cool thing is that when the Lord says to you to do a great task, he has a multitude in front of you, and Jesus turns to you and say, feed them, right? He told Philip that. What are you going to do? There's all this multitude here. Feed them. You're in the middle of the wilderness. You got no money and nowhere to go buy food, right, that's nearby. But the main thing is they had no resource, right? So go feed all these people. The correct answer when the Lord shows you something to do something great, right? Because, listen, oh my God. See, Philip fed them. Didn't he feed them? Wasn't he one of the 12 that had the bread in his hand and went out and fed them? He fed them. He fed them just like the Lord said he was going to feed them. The Lord just wasn't asking him to be great, though. The Lord wasn't asking him to be the bread of life, and the Lord wasn't asking him to perform a miracle. The Lord just said, feed them. The correct answer is, yes, Lord, I can't feed them, but you can feed them through me if you want. Right? You do it. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for this body. So, Lord, you can do whatever you want, but I know I can't feed them, Lord, so you know. Right? And prophets had answers like that, which was awesome. The Lord would ask a prophet to do something, and Elijah would say, Lord, you know. What an awesome answer, right? Lord, you know, because I don't know, and I can't, right? And the Lord proved that we cannot. I mean, listen, forget about a miracle, right? We can't even obey the law. We can't even stop coveting. We can't even stop taking the Lord's name in vain. So people can try their best. But that, even that, those things like that, we cannot do Let alone have great power come from inside of us and accomplish awesome things for God. You know, we can put our foot in our mouth and try to be great and accomplish, right? And then what happened? The word of God is not true because the Lord said that I was going to be great and nothing has happened, right? Nothing has happened. Abraham had that little problem, right? Because you know what the Lord says? He says, don't grow weary in doing good. Answer this question for yourself. What is doing good? Right there, it should pop out of your belly and into your face what doing good is. Because there's only one thing you ought to be doing. If there's only one thing you ought to be doing, then there's only one thing for you to do that is good. There's only one thing. If you have one task and the Lord says, you know, you don't grow weary in doing good, and you only know that you've been doing one thing and he only calls you to do one, then there should be only one thing that we ought to not grow weary doing. So we ought never to grow weary hearing and instead take matters into our own hands and birth an Ishmael, right? God does not need your help to birth Isaac. He really doesn't. He doesn't need our assistance to bring forth the promised child, right? Didn't need our assistance to bring Jesus into the... Mary was told, you will bear a son. She says, Lord, I don't even know a man. You will bear a son, and he will come by the Holy Spirit. He didn't tell her that so that she could get paranoid and worried about how it was going to happen. It's none of her business how it's going to happen. It's just the only part that involves her is that he's going to be in her and he's going to come out of her. But she wasn't involved in the doing of it. She didn't have to make it happen. She didn't have to make him grow. You know, it's funny. We want to take control of the things that we can hold. If you're pregnant with a baby, you cannot make that baby grow. You can't rush to the 9th month. So just like you cannot do earthly things, we cannot do heavenly things. You can't rush stuff. You can't bring it to pass. You can't make it happen. When it was so awesome, the faith of Elijah in the Lord, because he said it will not rain for 3.5 days unless I give the word. That wasn't Elijah talking. Elijah can't stop a cloud for half a day, let alone 3.5 years. What can that man do? Has the power to do nothing. Has the power to do nothing. Now, if you speak by the Lord and he speaks, he'll do it and it will not rain. Now, it came out of his mouth, but the Bible called that prayer. It says Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years and it didn't rain. The Bible called that prayer, right? Why is that prayer? Because he was depending on the Lord to bring that to pass and believing by faith that God would do it. And that, you know, I mean, I may be assuming things. To me, I believe the Lord, and I'm not looking at the scripture specifically to that reference, but you know what? The Lord tells you things before you just say them, right? The Lord shows you things that are happening. To me, I believe that he knew that those things were going to happen, because if I recollect correctly, I believe that he was sent with the word of prophecy to tell Ahab what was going to happen. So he knew what was going to happen. He understood what he was going to say, but he understood it only because the Lord revealed that to him. You know, it's just such an awesome thing to say, Lord, you have given me your spirit of truth, and I can't do this, and I cannot become great. And you are not showing me and telling me things so that I get all excited and work out my greatness, right? But Lord, all you tell me things so that, so, you know, how many times the Lord said, I say these things to you so that when they happen, you remember. And you know why that is? Because you forget. The Lord tells you something, and you can put that aside. You don't have to keep it always in your mind to know the Lord has said that I'm going to be great and I'm going to bring this thing to pass. Listen, you can forget about it and just keep your eyes on Jesus. You don't even have to bring it to mind unless he brings it up to you again and reminds you again of the things that are going to happen. And you know the Lord's preparing me and he's getting us ready and all this stuff is great, but he's doing that. He's doing the preparation. The things, it has not entered into the heart of a man, right? Ear has not heard. Ear has not heard and eye has not seen the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Who has he prepared that for? For those that love him, not for those that try to bring that to pass. God has prepared them. He's not asking you to help him in his preparation. He's prepared them, past tense. It's done. It's finished, right? Christ was the crucified lamb before he got on the cross. He was crucified before the foundation of the world. And then he manifested that crucifixion, right? But Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ before Christ, before Mary heard, that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. All of the Jews knew he was coming. Not just David, not just Abraham, not just Isaac, not just Jacob. All of the Jews knew that a Messiah was coming. But could any of them bring him to pass? No. Could any of them manifest that? No. Could any of them bring help sooner? No. And they cried and they said, Lord, how long before you bring the Messiah? How long before you? But no matter how much supplication, no matter how much unbelief, no matter how much all these things happen, still, here, how cool this is. All the Jews are waiting for a deliverer. Yet they could have been having faith in that deliverer, prospering in their walk without the deliverer ever even coming yet and appearing, just by having faith in him. Abraham had faith in God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, right? Moses said, there is a prophet that is coming after me. Him you will hear, right? Moses, it says by faith, it says Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ. Moses in Exodus, right? Esteemed the reproach of Christ. He said Jesus there, the anointed one, right? They may not have known his name was Jesus, right? But they knew there was a Christ that was coming. And they put faith in the word of God. So can I tell you something, how cool that is? The Lord says, you know what? Have faith in what I have said to you. Put faith in my word. If I show you something here, right? Obviously, we don't scoff at prophecy and you don't push it aside in unbelief, but you interpret what you're seeing, right? And saying, Lord, the reason why I can understand what's going on and you can show me things is because I have you in me and I have the truth. Therefore, and the Lord will never show you something outwardly, right? The Lord will never show you something outwardly that he wants you to believe, contradicting the truth. Now, the Lord may ask you questions and stuff, and he'll ask you something like, feed them. Go ahead, Philip, feed them. When you know full well that you don't have the power nor the resource to feed them. So it's like, Lord, why would you be asking me to feed them? And it's okay to ask yourself that, Lord. Why would you be asking me to feed them? Lord, I know what you're doing. You're looking to see if my faith is in you or if my faith is in myself. But you can tell by his answer, he didn't even give it that much thought. He just said, Lord, we don't have enough money. What do you want us to do? Even if we had this much money, wouldn't it be enough to feed all this multitude? Right? That was his answer. Bad answer. Bad answer, right? He still ended up feeding them, but he had to know, Lord, you know, you can feed them, right? So he was transfigured before them. He was transfigured before them. So there's a reason why he shows himself that way, right? He showed himself in all his glory, but Moses and Elijah there, the prophet, right? The prophets and the law with him, with Jesus. So Peter sees what he sees, and he thinks God wants him to do something. So he says, Lord, should we build, right? Should I do something? He says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, right? Same thing, Elias, Elijah. Elias talking with him, then answered Peter. And he said unto the Lord, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us. He's not asking you to do anything. He's asking you to hear, and he's asking you to do nothing else. Hear. He's not asking you to look and to see that you want to keep them overnight, and you're going to build them little tents so that they can abide in, right? God doesn't show you things in order to activate your flesh. God doesn't show you a video about people getting saved or people dying all over the world without Jesus, so you feel pressured to get up and go preach the gospel, and you don't even know what you're talking about, right? That's not what God does. He doesn't do that. Now, he can show you that you will go and you will preach the gospel, right? But let him teach you. Let him teach you. And people say, well, how will you know what you'll know? Right? Well, you know what? How did you know the day that you were supposed to get saved? You say, well, I didn't know. I was like minding my own business. Happened to be there, and the Lord either brought somebody to you or you had no idea that it was going to happen. You just were kind of minding your business, doing whatever it was that you were doing, and the Lord came to you, showed himself to you, and you somehow, being a complete ignorant individual of all things of God, somehow knew that you ought to do this, that you ought to repeat what that man is saying, that you ought to listen to your friend, that you ought to say what they're saying, because it's time to, you knew that somehow. And you didn't have to practice for it, and you didn't have to rev it up and get it all going, right? You just knew. Isn't it an awesome thing? You will know. You will know. You will know, right? Just when God told Moses, You will deliver the people. You will do this. You will do that. Right? How did he? You will know. You will know. He will show you, and you will know. And you will know that you have the word of God, that you have God with you, that you have the power of God to go do, and he will bring it to pass. Now, that's a real different leap, right? From you going out and trying to make something happen. I know what it feels like, believe me. I know what it feels like. I not only know what it feels like to go try and do it, I know what it feels like to go do it and fall flat on your face trying to do it, right? I know what it feels like to do it, and that's not a good feeling. It's not even a good feeling while you're doing it, right? Trying to be great, right? Yeah. Listen, if we can't be good, we can't be great. That's such a good thing to remember. If we can't be good, we can't be great. But he is great and mighty on the inside of you. My God, is he great and mighty on the inside of you. He's great and mighty on the inside of you. And in verse, he told them in verse number 4, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spoke, right, he was in the middle of his thought. He hadn't even finished it yet. And behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And the Lord wants to correct his mind and tell you, don't forget what he, right? 3 years he's been preaching to you the gospel. Don't forget the gospel now because your eyes beheld something, right? Don't think that what you see with your eyes is greater than the truth in you. It is not greater. It will confirm what the Lord has said, but it is not greater. It's not greater. And that doesn't build faith, right? The word of God, that's where faith comes from, right? Hearing is where it comes from. So while he still spoke, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Peter, don't even try to do something to try to be pleasing to me. Don't try to be pleasing. I didn't say that you are well pleasing so that you try to be well pleasing. Right? If we're well-pleasing, it's because he's well-pleasing and our faith is in him. So now God is well-pleased with us. But we didn't have to. See, that is called grace, right? The grace of God. We're not trying to be well-pleasing to him. We just are. Why? Because we're in his son, in whom he's well-pleased. So he said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well-pleased. Can we read those 3 words there? Hear ye him. Not what your eyes see. Not what your eyes see. Not what you think, right? Hear him. So the Lord gives the task to these 3 men, Peter, James, John. Hear him. Hear him. Hear him. Because I will tell you in years to come, right? I will tell you, and you will see a cloth come down out of heaven with animals in it, and I will tell you that it is acceptable for the Gentiles to hear the word. You have to hear me, not what you think. You have to hear me, not your tradition. You have to hear me. Listen, you have to hear me, not what seems normal to you. You have to hear me. You have to hear me and not what seems possible to you. Don't hear your brain tell you whether something is possible or impossible, right? The Lord can tell you will be an astronaut, right? And you don't have to go try to be an astronaut. You don't have to go try and enlist in NASA, right? You just have to know, Lord, but that's good, Lord. I'm going to be an astronaut and my eyes are still fixed on you. And my eyes are still fixed on you. And when do I do something? I'll know. I'll know. I'll know because he'll tell you and he'll show you. You don't have to go try to do it. Don't try to be great. You'll know when you have to do something. You didn't know anything to be saved. You don't have to know it for the rest of your life, right? He'll just like he showed you that, he'll show you everything else. He's so good like that. So he tells him, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Can we jump over real quick? I won't read this to you just for the sake of time. But we had been reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So a little bit of 1 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And he says in the latter part of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the latter part of it around, you know, verse number 9, that's what we were quoting before, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of a man what God has prepared for those who love him. But it said, but God has revealed them to us. He has revealed the things that God has prepared for us. He has revealed them to us by his Spirit, because the Spirit searches all things. And he says, no one knows. No man, no pope, no individual, no priest, no pastor, no individual on the face of the entire, no Moses, no Abraham. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians there, he says in chapter 1, verse number 29, he says that no flesh may glory in his presence, because no men are good and no men know. No men know me, nor can they know me. But Jesus said, but except to those to whom I reveal myself to. And the only reason why you can see the revelation of Jesus is because it's been given to you to be able to see it. It's been given to you to do that. You don't have to try to get it. It's just been given to you. And the more that you try to understand something, the less you will understand it. Why? Because you can't understand it. You can't understand prophecy. You can't understand parables. Right? The disciples asked him, why do you always talk to them in parables? Because seeing, they don't see, and hearing, they don't hear. Right? So I speak to them that way, but they cannot hear anyway. But to you, right, I speak to you, but you can know. You can know. And then they ask him and he explains, right? Because they can know. It's been given to them to know. So there are times when the Spirit of God can reveal and show you something, right? And you can learn them. And there are times that you just ask the Lord a question and he shows it to you. Almost like he gave you like an English answer for what you were asking him, right? Still showing you, still revealing things to you, because you can know. It's been given to you to know. So the Lord speaks to you and warns you about things to come, can show you things that are coming up in your future. The Lord can prophesy into your life about things that will happen in 10 and 20 and 30 years down the road, if not more, right? But still always remember, Lord, you're not, what are you asking of me? What is it that you require of me? No matter what God tells you that you will be or that you will do, the task never changes. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear him, he said. Hear him. It says in verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians. Did I say 2 Corinthians? I've been driving him crazy, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. We can read that, right? It says, for what man knoweth the things of God? What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? He said, even so the things of God knoweth no man. Knoweth no man. That's so good, right? That eliminates competition. That eliminates you lifting people up on a pedestal. Listen, it doesn't matter if you used to take your pastor or the priest that you used to go to or wherever, or men with money or wherever, and you take and lift them up. Just put them right down there. Just put them right there, because they don't know nothing. They don't know anything. No man knows God except the Spirit of God. And no man can boast about what they know by the Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit of God that gave it to them, right? So the only one that could boast, if anybody, would be the Spirit of God on the inside of them, right? Now, you don't learn by the Spirit of God because you're intelligent. You just learn from the Spirit of God because you hear. It's not intelligence that learns from the Spirit of God. It's hearing that learns. Just because you hear, right? That's why faith comes that way, just because you hear. Because you say, Lord, I will listen. I will not, Lord, push your word aside. I will not count the grace of God, right, as something that is unacceptable or not righteous, right? In other words, you don't deny the word of God, but you accept it and you say, yes, Lord, right? You don't know everything that you're accepting, but you say, Lord, I listen, I believe in you, I believe your word, therefore I accept your word, and you begin to hear. So it says in verse number 12, now we have received, this is what you have received. He's talking about that nobody knows except the Spirit, and it says this is what you've received, not the spirit of the world that doesn't know. This is what you've received, not the spirit of the world that doesn't know, but you have received the Spirit which is from God that you might know. You see, you have received the Spirit of God that you might know the things that have been freely given to you in Jesus, right? The things that have been freely given to you in Jesus. So let's go ahead and let's come over here and close in 2 Peter. How about it? 2 Peter. Who was it that told the Lord, Lord, should we build three tabernacles? Should we build three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah? Who was it that said that? Do you remember? Peter said that, right? Where are we going now? To the second letter that Peter wrote. Ain't that going to be interesting, right? Ain't that going to be interesting? You know what he's going to show you? What he understood from that day. That's what he's going to show you. He saw it, and he didn't totally get it that day. But what happened? The Lord showed him. And you know what he did? He wrote it down so that you can know, right? So that you and me can know. That's good. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. He speaks something to you, and then he explains it, right? So in 2 Peter chapter 1, look how cool this is. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to fly through some things because it's really one verse that we want to get to. But he starts off that chapter saying, grace and peace are multiplied unto you. How is grace multiplied unto you? How do you get more of the grace of God working in your life? How does that come? By what? When you hear that, it's good to know that verse. Grace and peace are multiplied unto you in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge of him. In other words, what he's writing is what he saw. This is my beloved son. Hear him. He saw that. So the Lord had been teaching him, and he understood by him seeing those things, right? He saw it. Then scripture made sense to him then. Scripture made sense to him. So many things that Paul wrote down, so all the things written in the Old Covenant began to make sense of him. The scripture of the Old Covenant that testify of Jesus began to testify of Jesus to him. So he understood the grace of God is multiplied unto me in my life through the knowledge of Christ. And here's what he says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And it says, according to as his divine power has given to us. Again, right? Why? What's been given to us? The Spirit of God has been given to us. We have truth. And because we have the Spirit of God in us and the truth, we have everything that pertains unto life and godliness. The power of God on the inside of us and the truth that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness, right? All that we need, if there is an area of your life where you need to be fruitful in you is the seed to make you fruitful. In you is the truth that can make you fruitful. Right? In you is the truth that can bear fruit for that area in your life, right? And for everything. So that all of your needs can be met according to his riches and glory. You have a treasure in earthen vessels. That's where it comes from. That's where every need is met. That's where every fruitfulness comes from, right? It's on the inside of you. It's not that you rain money out of your mouth, right? It's that you have the power in you to get wealth. Faith in God. Abraham didn't have to chase after wealth. He was just made wealthy. Solomon didn't have to chase after wealth, even though he had so much and had amassed so much wealth. Even people that weren't even kin to him would bring him money and gifts and give to that man. Because what is the only thing that he sought? The wisdom of God and nothing else. He was made king. He said, Lord, teach me to be king. He said, what do you want? He said, Lord, I want wisdom. The Lord told that man he's going to be great. The Lord knew, prophesied, his daddy, while Solomon was growing up, you know what his daddy was speaking to him? You're going to be king. Then one day, the Lord says to David, you'll not build me a temple, but your son will build it. And David began, right, empowered by the Lord to amass things together for his son, speaking to him, showing him what the Lord has said. Isn't it awesome that that man did not get into an office cocky, thinking that he was the next, nobody can take him out because after all, his daddy is David. And the Lord promised that the Lord will always leave someone on the throne, on David's throne. You know, he didn't rest on any of that. You know what he rested on? The wisdom of God. And it's awesome to know it says, Christ is to us wisdom. Christ is to us wisdom, right? So let's go ahead and close here. Look at what it says. It said that by, in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. Go all the way, if you can, to verse number 16. Look at verse number 16. It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. In other words, it's going to say all these things that we've been talking about, grace and peace being abounding into your life and all of the things that God has given, everything that pertains unto life and godliness. How do you bring all this to pass? He keeps saying by the knowledge of God, by the knowledge of God, by the knowledge of Christ. And then he says, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables. It's not like we're following the yellow brick road. This is not some kind of Cinderella story, right? This is not some kind of fairy tale and some kind of thing that we've heard of, that there is a Zeus and that there is a this and that this is mythology. He says, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we were eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. That means they witnessed it with their what? With their eyes. But the eye does not preach the gospel. The eye can see what is confirmed through the Spirit of God on the inside of you by the truth. So he says, we were eyewitnesses. He says, we were eyewitnesses, it says, of his majesty, for he received, now he's all speaking about Jesus, right? For he received from God the Father. He received from God the Father honor and glory, where there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him on the holy mountain. Isn't it an interesting thing? And we don't have to dwell here too long, but it's a cool thing. In Matthew 17, he says that he took him up to a high mountain. Here, Peter calls it the Holy Mount. Now, that's not a mountain where you have to go up there, and if you get on that mountain and you get like on it, you know, on top of it, the power of God is felt on that mountain, because that's baloney, right? The mountain is not holy. The mountain is not holy. It's called the Holy Mountain because anytime that the Lord lifts you up and your heart is set on him where he is seated at the right hand of the Father, that's the Holy Mountain. The only other place where that word is used, Holy Mount, it's talking about the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. It's used in no other place, those two words together, right? So he's not talking about that dirt place being in it. But can I say this? You could be in the worst slums, in the worst situation, and in the worst dead-end job, earning no money, people taking advantage of you, and within you, you have all that you need for life and godliness, an escapism. And God is not asking you to try to get yourself out of the situation, nor is he trying just to rescue you out of the world, right? He has put on the inside of you everything that you need for life and godliness. And all that we need to do, right, is fruitfulness in our lives wherever we are. Fruitfulness in our lives wherever we are, right? God will open doors, right? Joseph, my God, if you see him, right? It did not matter where he was. It didn't matter what men tried to do to that man. God said, you're going to be great. God gave you a vision. God gave you a dream. People will bow down before you. Your own brothers will come and bow before you. It's going to happen because he said so, right? But he didn't have to bring it to pass. He just believed it. He just believed it, and God did it all. He wasn't crying in the pit. He wasn't crying in Potiphar's house. Right? He was just listening to the Lord. And it's an amazing thing when a man can listen to God and hear him, how many things the Lord can speak and show you of what's to come. How the Lord can put you at the right place at the right time, right? To bring your name to remembrance before kings. Before kings. Because you listen, if you know, can we end here? If you know that you're free, when it looks like you're a captive, you are free. If you know that you're free, when it still looks like you're a captive, right? You're free already, no matter what it looks like on the outside, right? No man can stop the hand of God. God is mighty and God is awesome, right? And he will finish and complete, right, what he started in your life. He'll finish it and he'll complete it so that the glory can be God's and not ours. So it's a good thing, you know, what he says here. He says in verse number 19, and we're going to stop right there. He said, after he saw what he saw, he said, and we have also a more sure word of prophecy. We have also a more sure word of prophecy where ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So you know what he's saying? He's saying what we saw confirmed the word of God. What we saw confirmed the word of God. What we saw did not become the word of God. What we saw confirmed the word of God. So the word that God has given you, the things that he teaches you, the things that he's showing you about what your task in life is, that is sure. Don't grow weary in that. Can I tell you something? Most people grow weary in it. And that's why the Lord tells you, don't grow weary. There are going to be times in your life where you're going to want to let go. And you're going to want to take matters into your own hands. And you're going to say, you know what? I'm fed up with it. Don't be fed up with it. Just hold your position. Hold your position and keep hearing and keep pressing on the Lord and keep listening and keep your eyes on him and say, Lord, yes, Lord, you will bring it to pass. You will bring it to pass. You will bring it to pass. Every single person that has done anything great in the Bible has done it by faith in Jesus. Every single person written in Hebrews 11 did it all by faith. Every single one of them. The walls of Jericho were by faith, right? They fell by faith. The Red Sea was split by faith, right? The armies, right, that were scattered, every army that was ever scattered was scattered just by faith in Jesus, right? All of these things happened by faith in Jesus. And the Lord will put the word in your mouth and you will speak it and he will bring it to pass. The Lord can tell you, say and speak now. Right? It will not rain for 3.5 years. And he brings that word to pass because he spoke that. Let him show you and train you to the immense value that there is in treasuring the Word of God and treasuring the revelation that you have on the inside of you. Let him enjoy yourself in that. You know, because that's easy and that's light. That's easy and that's light. And we can do that, right? We can hear and he can speak. That's easy and that's light. And we can come to that all the time. That's easy and that's light. Anything else that you try to do will overburden your soul. Try to be a better father, it will overburden your soul. Try to be a better mother, it will overburden your soul. Try to be a better parent, it will overburden your soul. It is too much to handle for us to try to be a better anything where we can't even be good. Let us not try to be great, right? But let us hear. And he says, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, you know what he said he'll do? He'll lift you up. Oh, it's better for him to lift you up. Because if he lifts you up, nobody can knock you down. You lift yourself up, somebody can crawl over top of you, right? But when he lifts you up, who can knock you down? The devil himself can't rise up and do anything. But if you get up by your own britches and try to do it, right? He'll speak deceitful things to you and you'll believe him and he'll knock you down because you don't have an assurance up here. There's nothing, there's no faith holding you. There's no faith holding you, right? But it says by faith Moses, he fled the wrath of the king, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh. This is Egypt we're talking about. One of the most powerful nations that existed in that time. And Moses did not fear all of it. He knew the power of that nation, right? He led armies in that nation. And yet he didn't fear it. He could turn his back on that whole nation. And not only turn his back on them, but then confront them and come against them. To kill all of their firstborn. Plagues come against them. One man. The Lord said, a victory that he gives us, you will defeat them as if they were one man. You will defeat them as if they were one man. No one stands against you. No one stands against you. What God says is going to happen, he will bring every single jot and tittle of it, he will bring it to pass. You don't have to bring any of it to pass. You just don't have to try to be great. Just humble yourself. That means we were talking about that just the other day. That's to be low, right? To be low. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Oh boy, and the days of lifting up come in due time, right? That's good. That's good. Let's go ahead and let's close in prayer right there. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord. There is weariness. There is weariness sometimes, Lord, that comes over us. There is weariness, Lord, that comes just in a mind that's tired. But thank you, God, that you have called us, Lord, that you have called us, that you have summoned us, that you have called us together, Lord, to lift up one another. To lift up one another, to draw our eyes that are weary and hands that hang down, hands that have gotten tired of holding on to truth. Sometimes that happens, Lord. Hands just get tired of hanging on to truth. And you take, Father, and you bring us together. And you stir us up. You stir us up, my Father. And you say, be lifted up. I will bring to pass the things that I have said. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Don't push it aside. Don't grow weary. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. And some say, even right now, Lord, it's been a long time. It's been a long time, and I've been anxiously waiting. Don't be anxious. Only believe. Only believe. Only could believe. It could be 25 days. It could be 25 years. Father, we don't understand timing. We don't understand the preciseness of how you do things. We get tired of waiting for a month, Lord, and we let things go. But thank you, God, Father, that these people, Lord, are different, Father. They hold on, and they hold on, and they rejoice, and they hold on. Father, some of them, Lord, have even not forgotten entirely, Lord, but just put that promise and put it right on that shelf. And they look at it from time to time, but they're not trying to bring it to pass. Thank you, Lord, for that heart. Thank you for that heart, Lord. For people that they like it, They rejoice, Lord, in what you're going to do with what you've already done. But, Father, they live as people. They lay hold of it, Lord, now. They live as people that have already laid hold. Jesus, we have you. We have you, Jesus. Every single person in here, my Father, they have you. And if they have you, my God, within them, Lord, thank you that they have all they need for life and for godliness. They have all that they need. So I thank you, my God, that hearts, Lord, are lifted up tonight, Lord. That hearts are lifted up to you, Lord Jesus. Lifted up to you. That they would know, Lord, every single day that as their day is, so shall their strength be. That by your power in them, my Father, they can do all things through Christ. They can do all things through Christ. Lord, you are the strength of our lives. You're the strength of our lives and the power that leads us on. And we thank you and praise you and love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.